Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. Invite you to remain standing in honor of the reading of God's Word, and those who are watching in from home, we invite you to stand with us to honor the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Lord, as we have been seeing that the filling of your Holy Spirit is essential to our personal lives, but also essential to our relationships in the church, in our marriages and family, in our workplace, in all of our relationships. We, Lord, count your filling, the influence of your Holy Spirit upon us, as necessary for all that we do and all of the ways in which we relate to one another. Help us, Lord, to see that clearly again today as we look at the loving leadership of the husband in marriage. May Christ be exalted, because this is a picture of Christ and his church, the great mystery. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Will we glance at verse 18 again this morning, being reminded that every believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit indwelling him or her. We also see that we are commanded in verse 18 that every believer is to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't the same thing as having or being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. You yield to the Holy Spirit's control. We have seen that that is essential to the believer's personal spiritual life and worship. Verses 18 through 21 in Ephesians 5. We speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We make melody with our heart to the Lord. We give thanks for all things. We're subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. All of that is the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Those results continue all the way through chapter 6, verse 9. The filling of the Holy Spirit is essential for all relationships of the believer, including with one another in the church, verses 19, 20, and 21, for wives, which we saw last time, for husbands, which we're seeing today, for parents and children, family relationships, which we'll see, Lord willing, next time, and for relationships in the workplace, all of these are dependent on the filling of the Holy Spirit. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is essential for men as well as for women that we saw last time. Essential for a man's personal spiritual life and worship. And essential for the man's marriage, for husbands. Now, it's essential for husbands because the filling of the Holy Spirit restores the husband's loving leadership in marriage. I use the word restores. Why? Remember last time we talked about the filling of the Holy Spirit in the wife's submission to her husband, restoring her role as helpmeet, as counterpart, according to creation in Genesis. We looked at that last time. In the same way, the filling of the Holy Spirit restores the husband's loving leadership which Adam forfeited. He gave it away when he sinned. Adam forfeited his loving leadership authority when he sinned. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 teach us that both Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, were given authority to rule and to subdue the earth. They gave that authority away to the devil when they sinned. But they were created with it. Nonetheless, the Lord still wants human beings to have that rule, and you have it through salvation and the filling of the Holy Spirit. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we see when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were instructed not to eat of. She saw it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Now, how did she get that information? The serpent, Satan, deceived her into thinking those things. So she saw those things. She took from the fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. She gave it to him. He took it and ate it. Now, what was Adam supposed to be doing? He was created to listen to the Lord, his creator, and the Lord told him not to eat from the fruit of that tree. Adam had that information. Adam was to be the loving leader of his wife, Eve, who was created as a helpmate, counterpart to Adam. Adam was to provide for her and to be her covering, her protection. When Adam sinned, was he doing that? He wasn't listening to God. And he wasn't loving and protecting his wife. Adam should have said at that moment, "Eve, that serpent has deceived you. No, we should not eat from the fruit of that tree. And no, Eve, it's not your role to give me food. It's my role to give it to you. And Eve, you shouldn't have eaten from it, and I'm not going to eat from it, because that is, Adam should have protected her. But he didn't. He gave in. He received the food from her, and he ate it. When he did, he gave away his authority. He gave it to Eve by listening to her instead of leading her. And he gave it to the devil by sinning. This is why the New Testament completely holds Adam responsible for sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Doesn't even mention, say, well, through one woman sin entered the world. It doesn't say that. It entered through the one man, Adam. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 hold Adam responsible. Adam was first created, then Eve. It was not Adam who was deceived. The woman being deceived fell into transgression. Eve sinned because she was deceived. Adam sinned, not being deceived, but having full knowledge that he was disobeying the Lord. Adam knew he was, and he did it anyway. We could say Eve sinned by deception. Adam sinned willfully, knowingly. And so Adam is held responsible for this. Adam's role was to cover and guard and protect, and Adam didn't do it. Adam's not protecting Eve is just as much part of the first sin as taking a bite from the fruit of the tree. It was sin. Adam gave away his leadership authority. Now, just as we saw last time that spirit-filled submission restores the helpmate counterpart role of the wife, even in the same way, the spirit-filled loving leadership of the husband restores his authority role. Now, men, this is important for you. Say, well, I'm the head of this house. I have the authority in this marriage. Well, why? Because the Bible says I do. Okay, but men, that is not how you get spiritual authority in your marriage. You get spiritual authority in your marriage by being filled with the Holy Spirit so that you will love and lead in the right way. Not that you say, well, I have authority to boss around and, you know, do what I want. No, you don't. You have authority to carry out what the Spirit of God leads you to be and do in your marriage. Okay? Just like we talked last time, submission is misunderstood. You know what? Leadership is misunderstood also. So, we're going to look now in our passage at five characteristics of Spirit-filled, loving leadership by the husband. Spirit-filled, loving leadership. Spirit-filled, loving leadership, men, is what it means to be the head. It's very important. So, first characteristic, Spirit-filled, loving leadership is spiritual. Verses 22 through 24, you see, wives are to be subject to their husbands as to the Lord. Men, your leadership is like the Lord's leadership. It's like the Lord's leadership. Very important. Men, you are the head of the wife, verse 23, as Christ also is the head of the church. Men, your headship is like the headship of Jesus. And men, you can say, well, my dad's wasn't, and my grandfather's wasn't, and my great-grandfather's wasn't. Okay, but if you're a believer, yours is supposed to be. Like Christ's, the head of the church. Christ is the Savior. He is the provider, the protector, the coverer. He is the head, the covering of the church. Men, you are to be the head, the covering of your wife, her provider, her protector. And that is to be, verse 24 says, in everything. You know, husbands might like it when, you know, it says the wife is to be subject to her husband in everything. Yeah? And the husband is to lovingly lead as a spiritual covering, provider, and protector in everything. In everything. So it's a spiritual kind of loving leadership. Second characteristic, of this Spirit-filled loving leadership. Verse 25, it is sacrificial. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. What was Jesus' love for you like? The love of God is shown in that Christ gave his life as your ransom, as your redeemer. He gave his life for you. He sacrificed on the cross. Chapter 5, verse 2, we've seen that very thing. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Jesus gave himself up sacrificially for you, in your place, for your sins. He died for you. He paid the full and complete price of the penalty for your sin. That's love. Sacrificial love. God so loved that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16. The essence of love is giving, is sacrifice. Jesus did that. That is what the husband is to be for his wife, to love her sacrificially. Love your wives just like Christ, sacrificially, to give yourself up for her. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Love them sacrificially. A spirit-filled husband will love spiritually as a covering, a protection, a provider, and he will love sacrificially, giving what he can and sometimes must on behalf of his wife. Characteristic number 3. Spirit-filled loving leadership is sanctifying. Verses 26 and 27. The end of verse 25, Christ gave himself for her, the church. Verse 26, so that he might sanctify her, setting her apart for himself having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The washing of water with the word is what happened in you when you were born again. You were born of water and of the Spirit. The water is not water baptism. The water is the Word of God. Water baptism doesn't make anyone born again. But the Word of God implanted and activated in you by the Holy Spirit is what regenerates you, causes you to be born again and believe and receive salvation. You were cleansed. Notice the tense in verse 26. Having cleansed, every believer has been cleansed by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself, verse 27, the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. The love of Jesus for his church is purifying. It is cleansing. It produces holiness, sanctity, being set apart, so that then in verse 27, at the rapture, Jesus will present to himself the church in all her glory, completely glorified. Yeah. Do you know when you, as a believer, see Jesus in the air at the rapture, he takes you out, you will have been glorified, and so when you see Jesus, you are sinless. You will have become sinless, glorified, no spot, wrinkle, any such thing. None of that. You will be wed to Christ, glorified. Jesus is lovingly at work in you now, sanctifying, purifying, cleansing you, preparing you for the day of the rapture, when he will present you to himself as his bride. Husbands are to love their wives like Christ loves the church. Sacrificially, the husband is to have the cleansing, the purity, the sanctity of his wife in mind. That is how he loves her. Characteristic of the Spirit-filled loving leadership, number four, it's sensitive, verses 28 through 30. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we're members of his body. Nourishing, cherishing. Now, nourishing, you have a pretty good idea what that is about. You know, men, you make sure you get fed. You nourish your body. But you love your wife, and you should do the same for her. See that she is nourished. Cherish involves a little more thought. He cherishes his own flesh, and he's to nourish and cherish his wife as he loves himself. The word cherish, it really is a root that means to keep warm. It's used when mother birds sit on their eggs and keep them warm. They are said to cherish them. The idea is that the husband nourishes and cherishes. He provides, he feeds, and he provides warmth and protection. It's been pointed out that women tend to be a little bit more on the cool side than men do. And so that means that men can warm them up a bit by physical contact. So love your wife in a caring, sensitive kind of way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Men, your prayer life and the responses of God to your prayer have a great deal to do with your sensitive, loving leadership for your wife. Fifth characteristic of spirit-filled loving leadership, it's singular. Verse 31, the two shall become one flesh. Verse 33, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself. It is a singular love, the love of the husband for the wife is not like his love for anyone else. It is singular. It is unique. It is unbreakable. It is a one flesh relationship. Husbands, don't berate your wife for her struggle with submission. If you are not a spirit-filled, loving leader, exercising godly authority in your marriage and in your home. Quite often, women have a struggle with submission because their husbands are not really giving them anything to submit to. So this is important. Spiritual, sacrificial, sanctifying, sensitive, singular love is produced in a husband by the Holy Spirit when he yields to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is extremely important in the context. In the context, spirit-filled relationships are first with one another in the church. Second, in marriage. Okay, now follow what I'm saying here. That implies your relationship in your church is as vital as your relationship in your marriage. But marriage then comes before parenting and children, the beginning of chapter 6, and it comes before your work relationships in chapter 6, and I'm projecting way ahead now, it comes before issues of government and public affairs, which we'll get to. That is to say, a spirit-filled marriage, men, your spirit-filled loving leadership in your marriage is necessary in order for you to lead a spirit-filled family. And it's necessary in order for you to be spirit-filled on your job. And it's necessary in order to have a spirit-filled community, society, country. Now, everyone is looking with serious concern and criticism at things that have happened in Washington, D.C. this last week. right? But do you know that didn't just come about this last week? That has been breeding for years. And do you know where it starts? And the answer is not the President of the United States. The answer is in marriages. If there is not unity in the marriage, or if marriage, even as an act or an institution in our society, is disregarded as it has been, it is only a if marriages fall apart, it's only a matter of time before your community falls apart. It's only a matter of time before your government falls apart. Well, where does that start? It starts in your house. So don't just look at this as, well, I'm just an outside critic of this whole thing and I can pass judgment on it. This reflects trends that have been going on in this country for years. Everybody makes a big deal over the number of people who died from COVID-19 this past year. Has anybody reminded you that far more babies were aborted in 2020 than people who died from COVID-19. This isn't a matter of government. This is a matter of personal relationship. The filling of the Spirit is essential in this. So your marriage, while it exemplifies and is on par with the church, it comes ahead of your children. I mean, I hear men say, well, I just want my family back. I don't want my wife back. I just want my family back. You know what, men? You lost on that. You can't have it all those ways. Your marriage comes ahead. Before the children, before your work. Yeah, I lost my marriage, but at least I didn't lose my job. Oh? What's being lost is our whole culture. It's basically the culture that many of you can remember. It's now essentially gone. It's essentially gone. And government can't fix it. Never could. And never will. Only the Holy Spirit of God working in the lives of believers can restore and repair things to where they were meant to be in creation. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Is He indwelling you? You do realize, we saw it here in these verses, Jesus gave himself for you, loving you, dying for you, in your place, for your sins, that he might bring you salvation, which includes the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, living in you, Christ in you. You can have him if you don't already. Believe upon Jesus. Trust Jesus for your salvation, that he died in your place and for your sins and rose again to give you eternal life. Believe upon him and you will be saved and you will have his indwelling Holy Spirit. And those who have believed and have it, are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you yielded to him? Is he in control in everything, including your relationships and starting in your marriage and your home? Starting there. If you're not saved yet, is the Spirit of God taking this word to you and applying it to you that you will believe today? Then we invite you to trust Jesus as your Savior. And we'd love to rejoice and pray with you that that is happening today. Believers, are you yielded in these things? Men, how is it with your love for your wife? And so perhaps yielding to the Lord in that area is what you need to do today as well. Heavenly Father, now as we reflect upon these things, may your Spirit be at work in us. And Lord, as we are yet at the beginning of this new year, we look forward in this year to the rapture, your taking of your church. Lord, it would be my prayer that everyone here would be part of that, and that no one would be left because they have not been saved. Lord, may they be saved even today. And Lord, I pray that the testimony of our lives, our marriages, our homes would be a testimony that rings throughout our community, all to the glory of Jesus. We pray.